Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 18th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 154.55 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe warns the opposition and non-governmental organizations to refrain from organizing violent political protests against his rule, saying they will be dealt with accordingly.
These people are going to go merely to create violence because they are being instigated by some NGOs which don't like the ZANU government to continue to rule. Then they are mistaken in their belief that they can succeed.
Zimbabweans join the international Christian community in marking the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Good Friday.
And in his independence message, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says it is said that Zimbabweans are independent but not free.
Christians around the world marked the crucifixion of Jesus with prayers and processions in the Holy Land, for example, today. Zimbabweans, meanwhile, marked Good Friday and celebrated 34 years of independence with President Robert Mugabe warning the opposition and non-governmental organizations to refrain from organizing violent political protests against his rule. At 90 years old, Mr. Mugabe warned his fist still packs 90 tons of force. Ivan Chifera has more details from the capital.
The warning comes against the background of threats of a nationwide protest by the MDC Tsvangirai Youth Wing, which says it is agitated by continuing company closures, increasing unemployment and related ills. Addressing thousands gathered to mark the country's 34 years of political independence at the National Sports Stadium, President Mugabe said violent protests will not be tolerated.
These people are going to go out merely to create violence because they are being instigated by some NGOs which don't like the ZANU government to continue to rule. Then they are mistaken in their belief that they can succeed. They must look at us, look at our history.
He urged Zimbabweans to live in peace, saying only peaceful demonstrations sanctioned by the police would be allowed to take place. MDC Youth Assembly spokesman Clifford Hyachwayo was this week quoted by the press saying party youths would stage demonstrations to demand jobs. Another MDCT official, Job Scala, on Sunday urged party supporters to brace for war against President Mugabe's regime, which he accused of running down the country. Hyachwayo said the ZANU-PF government was failing to provide the 2.2 million jobs it promised in the 2013 elections manifesto. At the National Sports Stadium, in a wide-ranging address which lasted 1.5 hours, President Mugabe threatened to expel diplomats who are homosexual or are found promoting homosexuality in Zimbabwe.
They should give us implements to use on the farms. We appreciate the farms very much, very, very much. But what we want is getting loans from the banks because we don't have anything. We can't give collaterals. We don't have collaterals.
President Mugabe, who is a non-homophobic, added Zimbabwe will never be a territory for homosexuality, a practice, he said, must be restricted to Europe. He said government is committed to eradicating HIV/AIDS. He added all Zimbabweans must assist to ensure zero new infections are recorded in the country.
Government will do its best to bring ARVs to hospitals and clinics. But it's better, as I said earlier, to prevent HIV attacking a person than to wait until people have been attacked and then rush to try and treat them.
On the economic front, President Mugabe urged all Zimbabweans to support the government's economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Socio-Economic Transformation, or ZIMASSET, saying the program is set to transform the country's economy. He said the manufacturing sector is facing serious challenges, adding the government is taking measures to raise funds to prop up the sector. The
government is working on improving liquidity, and as soon as we have a high level of liquidity, we shall also be seeing a high level of development in the capacity of our manufacturing sector.
Government, he said, is among other measures reorganizing the mining sector to ensure transparency and increased revenue inflows, as well as improving power generation as it moves to fix the economy. This year's independence theme is Zimbabwe at 34, defending our sovereignty and providing an enabling environment for sustainable economic empowerment and social transformation. Mr. Mugabe said, "Today is a special day for Christians and ordinary Zimbabweans. For Christians," he said, "this is a happy day because this is liberation that is twofold because it is Easter as well. Today's 34th anniversary come just 8 months after President Mugabe got a new 5-year term following a victory in the disputed July 31st, 2013 elections." Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thanks, Ivan. MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai, in his Easter and Independence message, said today, "Zimbabweans are independent but not free. We are not free," he said, "because we continue to be persecuted for our political choices." Tsvangirai said thousands of innocent Zimbabweans have been murdered, raped and maimed for supporting the MDC, while millions are failing to access government handouts of food and farming inputs because of their political affiliation. He said the ZANU-PF government is taking long to align the country's laws to the new democratic constitution, which affords many rights and privileges to the ordinary citizens of this country. Tsvangirai asked, quote, "Is this why we went to war as a nation? To repudiate the people's sovereign will and expression as enshrined in a constitution made by the people themselves," unquote. MDCT deputy spokesman Joel Gabuza says everyone should celebrate independence even if the country is facing serious difficulties.
"Generally, as a free country, after having attained our freedom from colonialism, we don't discourage, we'd rather encourage everyone who feels, in order to honor also those people participating in the liberation struggle to bring about this freedom we are enjoying today, although in tears we have to attend, and I'm quite sure several people attended."
"Generally, what is the significance of this day?"
"The fact that we are free. What does independence mean? We are independent. Independent from what? Because the opposite of independent is dependent. Are we still dependent or we are independent? I think for us and for every individual, it means something different. It means it depends on where you are. Because generally, if you ask anybody to give you a different interpretation and significance of independence, because depending on where you are, there are some who are quite happy because of this independence, but there are some who don't see any change in their lives. They still envy the previous regimes because of the maybe benefits that they had during that time, or at least generally it would vary from one person to another."
That was MDCT deputy spokesman Joel Gabuza in Bulawayo.
Meanwhile, ZAPU has criticized ZANU-PF supporters for wearing party regalia during today's independence celebrations at White City Stadium in Bulawayo, saying the move intimidated those not aligned to ZANU-PF and gave an impression that today's celebrations were meant for the ruling party instead of all Zimbabweans. ZAPU had previously indicated that it would not attend today's celebrations, but party spokesman Qobisa Noko tells VOA reporter Stanikile Mhlanga that party members, including their president Dumiso Dabengwa, finally attended the celebrations after receiving a late invitation from the government.
"We got a late invite to the commemorations, but anyhow, we managed to make it there. What is important is ZAPU and why ZAPU did go It is for the purposes of which we participated in the liberation struggle, for the purposes of which we then got independence through that war. So what we are then saying at the end of the day, it is also a privilege, a year to which we then attend these national events.
Previously, we heard your party president, Dumiso Tabengwa, saying not all goals had been achieved that were set when the country gained independence.
The country did achieve a number of things, but all that are now overshadowed by the negatives that the present government. What we are saying is that the issue of the liberation struggle, the main issue was the issue on one man, one vote. It is now doubtful. We are saying, look, it is one man, 24, as illustrated in the elections that took place last year. In terms of the voters' poll, where you have one or two people who appear the voters' poll 20 times. But the way the land has been given to the masses is very chaotic, and it is not an achievement at all.
That was ZAPU spokesman Jobisa Noko on the line from Bulawayo.
From Washington, D.C., this is Tatenda Gumbo sending my best wishes to the people of Zimbabwe as we celebrate 34 years of independence today.
Thanks, Tatenda. Still with independence celebrations, as reported earlier, Zimbabweans today joined the rest of the international Christian community in marking Good Friday, the day Jesus Christ was crucified. Reverend Livika Denge of the Methodist Church in Zimbabwe says many Christians still managed to find time to attend church services today, even as the day coincided with Independence Day.
Oh, it was really a day which many people went to celebrate the suffering. It may be ironic to say to celebrate, but that has to be done so, because we are going through the agony of Christ, and that agony is the one which liberated us. Hence, the celebration part of it, and it has gone very well so far.
How did the audience fare, considering that today they were 20 in between the independence celebrations and the Easter holidays?
Oh, it's very interesting what has happened. At the churches, it was like, you know, normal, because those who wanted to go were there in their numbers. For instance, where I went, it was really like oversubscribed. But I had the opportunity around 1-2 to watch the television when I came home, and I saw at the stadium, it was just full. So from my observation, I think people were very free to go either way. Those who went to the celebrations, independence, went freely, and those who went to their churches went freely. And I think people went where they wanted to go, and I'm sure they enjoyed in their respective places.
That was Reverend Levi Kadenge of the United Methodist Church in Zimbabwe in Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
The situation at Chingwizi holding camp remains tense as the government continues to wrangle with flood victims who are demanding compensation from the cash-strapped government before they are relocated to Nyuanese Ranch. Government last week deployed a team of cabinet ministers and deputies to press the families to relocate, but resistance continues. The government is struggling to raise the more than $9 million required to pay compensation. Some displaced families who spoke to Studio 7 say only a few families have relocated. They took a swipe at local government minister Ignatius Chombo for allegedly threatening to cut aid to those who are resisting to move. Chombo was not immediately available for comment. But Maswingo resident minister Kudakwa Shebasikiti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that only a few individuals are still holding out.
The latest so far is that we have finished the pegging the permanent residential stands for all the Toko Mkosi flood victims. So we are now urging each and every family to go and settle at the permanent stands using the same tents they are using, they are having in the Chingwizi camp, that they will just take them to their permanent settlement place, use them as temporary shelter until government assists them to put secure permanent houses there. We have already put water reticulation to all their permanent residential area. No one moves more than a kilometer to get water. So that arrangement now informs everyone to move out of the transit camp because it is no longer necessary to be in the camp.
Lastly, Honorable Basikiti, we understand some people were resisting to move. What is happening?
Yeah, there were some misguided people who wanted to mislead people to believe that government will not compensate them or will not assist them get secure accommodation. But we have since realized this were a few individuals who did not want to be part of the permanent settlement but preferred to go to town and stay there. So they wanted to hoodwink other people to think that way and use them as their shields to try and force government to say bring money today, which is not how we operate.
That was Maswingo resident minister Kudakwa Shebasikiti on the line from Maswingo.
Meanwhile, a United States-based organization, Shelterbox, has deployed volunteers and donated tents to the flood victims. Villagers have been living in the camp since the beginning of February, with many families left sleeping in the open for months. Many other agencies say they have not been able to help the villagers due to its terrain. Shelterbox Director of Volunteer Programs, Alan Monroe, tells Blessing Zulu that the group was touched by the plight of the flood victims.
Following a series of floods and other situations in Zimbabwe, thousands of families have been uprooted from their homes, taking only the possessions that they can carry. Our teams have been on the ground in the past month to deliver shelter in partnership with other organizations, such as the International Organization of Migration, to assist 800 families. We have another team going in here, potentially in the next couple of days, to conduct further assessments and deliver even more aid.
So far, your aid has been focused on providing shelter only?
Typically, what Shelterbox provides is a green box that includes a family tent that is quite large. It also includes water purification, solar lighting, blankets and warmth items, mosquito nets, and even things and items for children as well.
What is your team on the ground telling you about the situation at Chingwizi Camp?
Basically, our team on the ground is working as fast as they can to find those that are made homeless by this disaster and get them in shelter as quickly as possible. So right now, we've got another team that's getting ready to get into the country, and we've got aid on the way. And so our hope is to get families made homeless by disaster in this particular country as quickly as possible.
How many people have you deployed so far, and how many will be going to join them?
So far, we've probably had four people on the ground. And we have another team, potentially of two to four individuals, that are heading on their way to deliver our emergency aid.
That was the Shelterbox Director of Volunteer Programs, Alan Monroe, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Violence broke out at an MDCT Youth Council meeting in Bulawayo last night as efforts to oust those calling for leadership renewal intensify in the city. No one was injured in the commotion as a meeting called to question the youth leadership's allegiance turned into an ugly brawl. Tensions are high in Bulawayo, where the MDCT made a clean sweep of the parliamentary seats in the last elections following suspicions that a number of the party's top leadership sympathizes with the so-called renewal team calling on Morgan Tsvangirai to resign. However, the leaders, including Chairman Gordon Moyo and Samuel Sipepangomo, have denied that they support the leadership renewal calls. Efforts to reach national spokesman Douglas Monzora or other top officials were fruitless. But Bulawayo Youth Chairman Beg Temba Nyati describes those trying to oust him as hooligans.
Yeah, what I can just say is that yes, it's true. The meeting yesterday, a provincial meeting that was supposed to address, as you had spoken to me last week, there were issues that the youth had wanted me to clarify to them, which I did myself, so that I would be able to respond sufficiently to their issues. So I excused myself from chairing. I asked my vice chair to chair the meeting. So while we were in the meeting, when we went into the meeting, there were over 15 people who were outside the meeting. They were outside, were inside the party premise, but outside the boardrooms, who were consuming beer, who would continuously come to the boardroom and disrupt the meeting, demanding that we finish the meeting so they can deal with me.
That was Beg Temba Nyati, the MDCT Provincial Youth Chairman for Bulawayo.
Chris, we invited our listeners to send us WhatsApp messages about Zimbabwe's independence. The country turned 34 years old today. Happy Independence, Zimbabwe. Now we go to a listener just to hear their thoughts about the important day called Zimbabwe's birthday.
My views on Zimbabwe 34 are nothing celebratory, because we as a people are held at ransom by an illegitimate party. ZANU-PF has successfully divided this country between the Shona people, the Ndebele people, the whites. A classical example of divide and rule is what is at play. It's a shame that ZANU-PF has, for the past 34 years, not been serious about developmental issues. For 34-7 years, we have never seen and we haven't seen any improvement in service delivery. We are having a deteriorating standards of healthcare, deteriorating.
Today is Independence Day, but 34 years down the line, the sports industry is still to celebrate big achievements. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
34 years after independence, the Zimbabwe sports industry is still to celebrate, with some national teams surviving on borrowing equipment from other teams when taking part in international competitions. This follows revelations by the president of the Zimbabwe Kickboxing Association, Tony Kamangira, who says equipment is not available in Zimbabwe and importing the equipment is expensive and far beyond their reach. Kamangira, since that they do not have the equipment, they've been forced to borrow to participate.
Tinombo kumbiro wakadzani wedu atunga chitamba nao mpamtambo kataenda kuma region kana international. Pane zvimwe zvatinokwasa kuti hatina tinokumbirawo.
Kickboxing is not alone in this sorry state as a number of Zimbabwe national teams from basketball, tennis, swimming, diving, volleyball, and even football still failed to travel to fulfill international engagements due to lack of funds. The state of sport in Zimbabwe is symptomatic of the state of the economy, as from football to cricket via rugby, tennis, hockey, and other sporting disciplines, Zimbabwe national teams have become the punching bag of the international community. Yet, soon after 1980, Zimbabwe was chart-busting on the international scene. The sports structure inherited from before independence provided immediate success. The Zimbabwe women's hockey team set the tone by winning a gold medal at the 1980 Olympic Games in Moscow. And with the backing of a vibrant corporate sector, Zimbabwe produced a three-time Commonwealth boxing champion in the form of Langton Schoolboy Kinago and two Africa Boxing Union title holders in proud Kilimanjaro Chinembiri and Sticks McLeod. The Zimbabwe national teams in cricket, hockey, rugby, tennis were some of the most feared in the world in terms of sport, with the rugby team having the honor of representing Zimbabwe at the 1987 and 1991 World Cup finals. But that is now history. The sport of hockey has fallen from grace to grass. In cricket, Zimbabwe are no longer as influential as they once were. The Davis Cup team has been relegated to Africa Zone Group 3, while the likes of Tunisia, Namibia, and Ivory Coast have all overtaken Zimbabwe as Africa's flag bearers at the Rugby World Cup. Yes, Zimbabwe Olympic Committee Chief Executive Officer Anna Mguni points out that there have been some successes in some fields. She singles out Nikki Price, the world's top golfer in 1993, Evan Stewart, the globe's world diving champion in 1994, World Boxing Council International bantamweight champion Charles Manuti, and Cass Coventry, who won 7 medals in 2 Olympic Games appearances. But Mguni emphasizes that these successes have not been a result of the Zimbabwe National Sports Development Program, but of the home development system in which their talents were nurtured at home. As Zimbabwe celebrates 34 years of independence, Zimbabwe Football Association President Kadbe Dube is crying for help and a change of attitude in the manner in which sport has been treated since 1980. Dube, who belongs to the ruling ZANU-PF party, is honest enough saying the reason for Zimbabwe's drastic fall has been the government's negative attitude towards sport, adding that since 1980, there's never been a budget for the industry.
I would like to say government has let us down. They've let us down.
Even the former Deputy Minister of Education, Arts, Sport and Culture, Lazarus Lokora, admits that the government has in the past 34 years let sport down. He says sport, just like any other economic industry, should be funded by Treasury.
Sport must be funded, just as we fund education, just as we fund any other economic activity in this country.
Most people agree. They say that given that sport is an industry that can play an important role in the growth of the economy, Treasury should have devoted adequate financial resources to allow the industry to unlock its full potential. They are of the opinion that nothing has been done to enhance the sport industry since 1980, yet less important sanctions have been getting huge financial assistance. Ironically, the then Minister of Education, Arts, Sport and Culture, Dave Coulthard, was open enough saying he would rather channel most of his budget to education as sport was a luxury. But Dube says this is unfortunate, as in other countries, national teams are funded by their governments, yet this is just a dream in Zimbabwe.
Angola, Nigeria, South Africa, Zambia, across here, they are all funded by their government. So what's wrong with ours here? Something's wrong.
Although education has been separated from sport, and the new Sport, Arts and Culture Ministry has been allocated funding, there seems to be not much change. Only 10 million has been set aside for sport, with almost half of it going to the Sports and Recreation Commission. However, former Kagoma Rugby Sports Club player Samuel Matanda is too optimistic that the new ministry will in future bring the much-needed change that has been missing in the past 3 decades. But when will that be? After 34 years, Zimbabwe should not have been talking of a national team borrowing equipment to compete, a national team sleeping on the floor in a foreign land.
Thank you, Michael Kariati. Meanwhile, FC Platinum today clinched the Independence Day trophy after beating Dynamos 2-0 at the National Sports Stadium. And in Bulawayo, Highlanders beat